Lynelma Johnson, welcome to Worldviews.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So you have written this very interesting book about your 12 years that you lived in India. Tell us a little bit about how you ended up in India. You're from Oklahoma, grew up in Perry. What took you from there to India? Tell us about this fascinating story.
Thank you. Well, my husband, Ray Johnson, and I accepted the Baha'i faith while we were at Stanford University in 1968. And one of the important tenets of our faith is service to humanity and the oneness of mankind, the oneness of religion, the oneness of the world. And so we decided that we wanted to give our children and ourselves an experience in another culture and serve humanity. And since we were in the field of education, we thought we should search for a school. And we found a small school in India, the New Era School. And in 1971, we took our three small children, 3, 5, and 7 at that time, to India to serve this school. And we had children, we grew to have children from 30 countries, and all faiths were represented. So it was a wonderful experience for the kids to grow up in that area.
So from your service, your interest in service, given your background and education, how did you pick this school and this country just by searching? What is it that drew you? Was there something that spoke to you about India? Had you visited? I mean, that's a huge move, taking three small children and your entire family and uprooting and traveling, you know, the other side of the planet. So, I mean, you know, what was it that spoke to you about that particular place and location and that time?
My husband's dean, Dr. Dwight Allen, who is a very well-known international educator as well as in the United States, actually told us about this small school because he had just visited there in 1970. And he suggested that we check it out. And it was owned by the school was owned by the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of India. So we contacted them and we were invited to come and visit. So first, Ray went to a visit, and then a few months later, I went to visit, and we decided we were just drawn to the school, I think, mostly because of the children.
And what was it about them that you felt like they needed you? They needed your education? What was it that you were going to provide them?
Well, this was a boarding school, and children were there from ages 5 through high school. And they were far from home, and some of the children were there because they were orphans, and some were there because they came from war-torn countries. And we really felt like that we could do a service there for these children. So that was basically the reason that we wanted to go there. And we did just fall in love with India and the children right away.
So what was your experience with the educational system in particular? Because there have been a lot of concerns over the years about the Indian education system and equal access and questions of, you know, lack of equity across the country in terms of the educational opportunities that are provided to children. So what was it that you saw and experienced and how, you know, did your work contribute to any kind of solution?
Well, I think it did because we did have Indian children from the village where the school was located, Panchgani, India. The male children were of the majority when we arrived. And in the boarding school also, the male children were the majority when they were coming to be in the boarding from other parts of India. So we set us about to really consciously recruit female children from all over India to be, and also from the village, to be day students. And so that issue was definitely there. Female children were not given the opportunities that male children were given. We did have a short example on what happened. This has to do with the caste system. It's changing the subject a bit. But We had a sweeper in our school who cleaned the toilets every morning, and she was the lowest caste, the Harrigan caste. She had a small daughter who worked with her, who was about 10 years old. And we decided if we could get that little girl to come to our school on a scholarship, she might be able to break out of her caste system if she were educated. So the mother did agree, and that little girl started to school. She continued to do her work in the school before school started in the mornings, but that little girl went on to become the very first Harrigan to work for Air India. And she became an air hostess when she finished her school.
Well, that's a great success story. Yeah. But you raised two important issues here that I'd like to ask you about, and that is gender equity in schooling, but also in general in India, but also the caste system and the socioeconomic discrimination that exists. Over your time there, how did you see that evolve or change, if at all? I mean, did you see India kind of working to the point where these were less relevant or less concerning, or did you really not see much change during your time there?
You know, in India, we say some things never change and some things always change. Yes, I think we did see change in that area. Later, of course, now the caste system is illegal, but sometimes in some places it does still exist. But I think that in our school particularly, we didn't have that situation. In fact, because of ignorance and lack of understanding of the culture, when we first arrived, we were only 31 years old, and we made a lot of mistakes, and the local people were very forgiving. But we did have a gathering of our local day parents in our school to introduce ourselves when we first arrived. We were first Americans in that village. And they all came into the school. There were about 40 parents, and more than that if both these parents came, maybe 60 people. And they were all seated side by side. We didn't know who was what religion, who was what caste, and they were served tea and snacks. And at the end of that gathering, the man that was translating for Ray came and said, "Sir, there's been a miracle here today." And he said, "What miracle was that?" And he said, "The Harrigans were sitting next, the lowest caste was sitting next to Brahmins, the highest caste, and next to Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists. And they would never do that in our community outside. But whenever the parents or anyone came in through the doors of or gates of New Era School, they all knew that everyone was treated equally, you know, with dignity and respect. So the word quickly spread throughout the village. So in our small community, we did see a big difference as the years went by, particularly in our school with the children.
And so this is largely related, I guess, to education, right? With education, with, you know, greater opportunity comes a more open mind and an ability to overcome these kinds of differences.
I think so, because it's through tradition and ignorance, really, and lack of education and understanding, that with the education and the children in our school were growing up side by side, and they didn't know. They didn't even realize their best friend might be of a different caste, or all the children were treated the same, no matter what faith they were. This school was owned by the Baha'i faith, but we were open to all faiths. And so I think through the educational system, when they left there, if they could break out of a caste system. And that's what's happened in India. I think that, you know, many people have come out of their, if it's a low caste, they've been educated and they've been able to go on and break out of that and improve their lives.
So think about India today. I mean, how connected are you still to India today? I mean, are you up to date on kind of what's going on in the news? Because India has been in the news lately for things that aren't really all that pleasant. So violence against women, for example, let's go back to this issue of girls and their access to education. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of discrimination and violence still against women today. Are these things that, you know, your approach in one little village really needs just to be, you know, to grow across Yes. India in order to address these kinds of problems?
Well, to answer your first question, we're very connected still to India. We've been back to India many times, and we are so connected with the students that were with us during those 12 years that, you know, we travel the world, we see our students and so forth. And also our son, Craig Johnson, who was 5 years old when we went to India. After 20 years, he's been with the American school system, first of all, for 18 years. But 3 years ago, he went back to India. He is a superintendent of the American School of Bombay. So, yes, we're very connected. We were there just a year and a half ago. To answer your second question about the female students and those issues that are happening today. I actually feel safer in Bombay, Mumbai, and parts of India that I do than I do in the United States, in some cities, in some areas. The issue of the young girls and prostitutions or whatever they're taken for, that happens everywhere in the world. And I think when those incidents happen, it is there, and it's a terrible issue, and I think they're working on that. But the population of India is so great, and the poverty issue is so great that it I don't know when it will be resolved. But the people of India are absolutely wonderful, and the culture is wonderful, and I think, you know, things have greatly improved for females.
So this is a negative perception that we perhaps see played out in the media and other parts of the world that doesn't necessarily match up in real life in India, in the sense that, you know, as you mentioned, these things happen everywhere. It's not just India. It's not just poor countries. It's not just those who struggle, but in all parts of the world. And so is it a matter of kind of how it plays out and how we learn about these parts of the world that's really the problem? And it goes back to this issue of education, educating ourselves. I mean, are we ourselves ignorant of what life is like in India?
I think so. The typical Indian youth or child would know much more about geography and what's happening in the world than an American child or youth would know, for example. And I think if people would travel and investigate more about what's happening in the world, they would find out that, you know, things have improved. For example, the Dharavi slum in Mumbai, where Slumdog Millionaire was filmed. Everyone's familiar with that. We took a tour of that slum, which is a city of a million people. A year and a half ago, we went there, and we saw amazingly wonderful things that were happening there. People have lived there for several generations, and it grew from a small slum to a large slum. It's still called slum, but they have schools, they have churches, they have synagogues and temples and mosques and hospitals. And we met children with school uniforms on, clean, speaking English, going to school. We saw so many cottage industries with arts and bread being made that was being sent to Taj Mahal Hotel, which is a 5-star hotel. And we came away with a feeling that this is a community. These people actually feel safe here. And even if they had the funds to rent something in the city of Mumbai, they probably wouldn't leave. It's very interesting.
Well, I think you've definitely told us exactly what we all should know, and that is we need to see these things firsthand in order to truly understand them. So thank you so much, Lynelma, for joining us today and sharing your story.
Thank you for your invitation. I appreciate it.